Why bad things happen to good people. That's one of the common complaints against Christianity by atheists. If God is good, he loves us, and he takes care of us, why do bad things happen to Christians? You know, we talk many times about God's protection and God's love and his supply and so many ways that he blesses us. But there are times that we face problems, all of us. We have some suffering. So the question is, why does that happen? None of us like to suffer. That's the reason we have air conditioning and padded pews, because we don't want to suffer, even for 30 minutes or an hour. We don't like suffering. We like to be comfortable all the time. Paul points out that we are heirs of God with Jesus if we suffer with him. Romans 8, 16 through 18. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so we see that there's always a condition on any blessing of God. And so this says that we're joint heirs with Christ. We're going to inherit heaven just like he is in heaven if we suffer with him, if we're willing to suffer with him. So Paul lets us know that there's going to be suffering in the Christian life, in spite of the fact that God is for us and who can be against us. There will be times that we will suffer. Belief and suffering go together, Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. So belief in Christ is associated with suffering in Christ. And so we should expect that and not be surprised when it happens. Godliness brings persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, we have problems in our lives in various ways. And if we're not suffering in some way, it may be that we're not doing the things we ought to be doing, like reaching out to others with the gospel and trying to bring others to Christ, which could bring persecution on our part. People may reject us because they don't like our trying to tell them about Christ and what he can do for them in their life. We follow Jesus' example of suffering, 1 Peter 2, 19 through 21. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults if you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Paul here is talking to servants or to slaves. And he's saying to them that when you do good and suffer, God takes note of that. And so he concludes by saying, leaving us an example, all of us, not just servants and slaves, that we should follow in his steps. And so we follow Jesus' example of suffering. So why do we suffer? First of all, to teach us that this world is not our home. Suffering keeps this world from becoming too attractive to us. In Hebrews 13:14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. And so our eyes on heaven, where we'll be free from the suffering of this life. And if you're not suffering now, give it a few years, and you'll see some suffering. Because age brings suffering and brings a longing for heaven where we can be free from that suffering. We also suffer to teach us the meaning and application of empathy. Suffering actually helps us to be empathetic. You know, we can feel for others and their problems when we've been there ourselves. And so suffering helps us to empathize with others who may be suffering in the same way or a different way even. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so we suffer so that we can be empathetic toward others who are suffering and have the comfort them in the way that God comforted us in our tribulation or problems. And so it teaches us to be empathetic toward those who are suffering. Then we suffer to teach us to keep our focus on the most important, not the most popular, not the most expensive, not the most beautiful. Suffering makes us more dependent upon God. And so we need to keep focused on spiritual things. Matthew 6:31-34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I think about this when it says, you know, we think about the people of that day and the clothes they wore and that sort of thing. And he says, don't worry about what we shall wear. I wonder what kind of worries they would have had about what they should wear. Do you think they were trying to color coordinate everything? Claire said this morning, she's trying to decide what to wear on her feet. And I said, try shoes. That'll work. She said, yes, but I want to know which shoes I should wear. And today, our being concerned about what she will wear is quite different than it was for them. And for us, it's color coordination and all of these things. But for them, it was whether they had something to wear or not. And what shall we eat? Same thing there. You know, are we going to have food to eat tomorrow? He's saying, don't worry about that. God's going to provide for you. But we want to know, well, what are we going to eat? Are we going to eat hamburger or steak or chicken or what? When we think about what we shall eat. And so we need to realize how blessed we are. But we suffer to teach us to keep our focus on the most important things in life. And then we suffer to teach us that our choices have consequences. Many of the times when we suffer, it's because of choices that we made. And we have to say, well, it's my own fault. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. That we need, as we go about our lives, we need to realize that choices have consequences. And we need to be sure that we're keeping our eyes on being pleasant to God, pleasing to God, and not to man. And that we, as we make our choices, we ask that question, what would Jesus want me to do? What would God want me to do in this situation? Because one day we're going to have to answer to him for why we made the choices that we did. We suffer to teach us to stay away from sinful actions. Sinful actions have consequences. And so we can expect to suffer if we get involved with sin. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Soul is life. It wars against our life. It brings conflict into our life and problems into our life. And so we suffer to teach us to stay away from sinful actions. You know, when we were young, back in the good old days when we had wood stoves, and we were taught to don't touch the stove. I can remember even when they had the old radiators. Remember those? Not radiators. I don't know what you called them. The grates in the floor that the heat came through. And we had to keep our kids away from those. And so they would learn real quick not to step on that, because it gets hot when the heat is on. And so it's much the same way with this. We need to learn that sinful actions are things that are going to hurt us, and we need to stay away from those things. And that's the reason God wants us to stay away from sinful actions, because they do bring pain and suffering into our life. We suffer to teach us the value of strong prayer life. Suffering strengthens my praying. Usually we pray more when we're suffering. And sometimes that may be the only time we pray, is when we're suffering. But we need to remember that suffering helps us to pray more. And so we tend to pray more when we're suffering. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And so we're going to face both of those things in our lives. And so we need to pray. And not just when we're suffering, but suffering tends to bring more prayer into our life than when we're cheerful and things are going well in our lives. We suffer to teach us that free will may sometimes infringe on our well-being, the free will of others. Amen. Since God allows us free will, then we should recognize that we may suffer as a result of that. When someone else has the right to do what they want to do with their life, then we may suffer as a result of that. And that may be in a country where suffering is brought on. And so places where war is going on and people are being bombarded, not by their will, but by the will of politicians. And so they're suffering because of free will. They can do what they want to. If they want to take a country, then they have the free will to do that. And people are going to suffer when that happens. Just like someone has the right to punch me in the nose. And I'm going to suffer if they do that. Because at my age, I can't dodge very well. So I'm going to suffer if they want to punch me in the nose. Acts 8:1-3. Now Saul was consenting to his death. Talking about Stephen. At that time, a great persecution rose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. This Saul is the one that later became Paul. But the point here is Stephen died preaching and teaching the truth. And so sometimes free will infringes upon our well-being, as it did with Stephen. They chose to stone him. That was their choice. That was their free will. And Stephen suffered as a result of it. And Saul ultimately suffered as a result of what he did. As a matter of fact, God told him at his conversion that I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And so Paul suffered evidently as a result of his, even though he became a Christian, he still had suffering to go through as a result of his life. Then we suffer sometimes to teach us that Satan is alive and well and influencing those around us in negative ways, in the way that we just talked about also. 1 Peter 5:8 through 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That we all go through problems. Satan is out there. He's alive and well, and he's trying to bring every problem he can to force in our lives in a negative way, so that we will leave God and give up on him because of our suffering. But Satan is behind it all, and we need to realize that and resist him. Then we suffer to teach us that sometimes suffering is a matter of time and chance. We just happen to be in the wrong time and just happen to chance to be there at that time. Ecclesiastes 9:11 through 12. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Just by time and chance. And so sometimes we suffer just because we happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I think sometimes, if you ever thought about this, there's a car accident in front of you. I saw out here on 49, a trailer one day, some of you may have saw it, turned sideways, overturned sideways on an underpass. No way to get around it. And so I thought, you know, how would you like to have been behind that truck driving 60 miles, 65 miles an hour when it turned over? And I thought, you know, if I had been a few minutes earlier, that might have happened. So time and chance. If I just left here a little bit earlier, I might have wound up slamming into that thing. And so sometimes time and chance is on your side, and you need to recognize and be thankful that for whatever reason you didn't leave at a different time kept you from being in that situation. And so time and chance happens to us in our suffering sometimes. Suffering comes upon us sometimes to teach us that Jesus is there to help us in our suffering. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So we suffer sometimes as a result of of our sins, and we need to realize that Jesus is there for us to help us through that suffering and to forgive us when we fail. But he is there to help us in our sufferings, and sometimes that may be the reason we suffer. Sometimes we suffer to teach us to appreciate the good things in our life. And we can always find more good than bad. You know, I think about as I age and have problems with my back, my knees, and my ankles and everything, I have a great heart. Heart's doing well. Lungs doing well most of the time. So there's a lot of good still in my life, and in spite of the pain and suffering that I might go through in some areas of my life. And so we need to appreciate the good things in our life. Philippians 1:3-8. I thank my God, this is Paul, in prison. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making a request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from this first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul, in spite of the fact that he was in prison, had wonderful feelings about the church in Philippi and thought about all of the good that was going on there as a result of his work in Philippi. Sometimes we suffer. It teaches that suffering is necessary to purify us. Sometimes we are better as a result of our suffering. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fire is used to purify precious metals, in particular gold, and I've seen that at work. I've seen where a handful of looked like just dirt is put into an oven and heated to an extremely high pressure, and you can watch that stuff just burning off until there's just a little speck then, a little bit of gold left. And so it purified the gold. It got rid of the impurities. And sometimes suffering does that for us. It makes us stop and think about, what am I doing in my life? Do I need to make some changes? Am I suffering because of sin in my life? Do I need to get my life right with God? And so it teaches us that suffering sometimes is necessary to purify us. And that should be the goal of our suffering, is to make us more pure in the sight of God, to get rid of the impurities in our life. So hopefully we recognize that, and suffering has its purpose in our lives to purify us. Sometimes we suffer, it's simply to teach us perseverance. Romans 5, 3 through 4. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So it teaches us to persevere, to put up with some things, and because we don't have a choice sometimes. We have pain. So what? We get up and go about doing our will. You know, I thought about on vacation, as I thought about the work I did to put together a grill, which is not easy, I found out. Seemed simple, but it wasn't. And I did some painting, and I hadn't done this with my arms for a long time. And the aches and the pains, and I thought about, you know, I know why sometimes people just sit down and say, I don't even feel like getting up, and just stop existing in life. Because they don't feel like getting out of their chair, except maybe get to bed, and sometimes they don't even do that. They just sleep in the chair. And it's sad when that happens. So hopefully our suffering brings perseverance, that we realize life does not stop because we're suffering. There are still things we need to do, and I realize that the more I do, probably, the better I will feel ultimately. And that I need to be doing probably a lot more exercising and moving those muscles and everything than I do. But suffering sometimes teaches us to persevere. And then suffering sometimes teaches us to be patient, and that's similar to persevering. James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You ever have a problem? Headache, ache anywhere, or a problem, and you want it to end right now, but it's not going to. And so we have to be patient, waiting for that medication to take effect that we're taking, or whatever the case may be, waiting for God to solve the problem. And so we have to patiently wait for that improvement in our condition. And so we recognize that it's only going to be for a little while. As Shirley Wagner used to say, this too shall pass. And so we have to recognize that even though we're suffering, it's going to pass. One way or the other, it's going to pass. And we may be longing for that time in heaven wherein all suffering will cease from our lives. So it teaches us to be patient. So why bad things happen to good people? Teach us this world is not our home. Suffering keeps this world from becoming too attractive. To teach us the meaning and application of empathy, suffering actually helps us to be more empathetic. To teach us to keep our focus on the most important, not the most popular, not the most expensive, not the most beautiful, suffering makes us more dependent on God. To teach us that our choices have consequences. To teach us to stay away from sinful actions. To teach us the value of a strong prayer life. Suffering strengthens my praying. To teach us that free will may sometimes infringe on our well-being. To teach us that Satan is alive and well and influencing those around us in negative ways. To teach us that sometimes suffering is a matter of time and chance. To teach us that Jesus is there to help us in our suffering. And to teach us to appreciate the good things in our life. To teach us that suffering is necessary to purify us and to teach us perseverance. So all of these things happen to help us in our lives in many ways. And we need to learn the value of suffering, to expect suffering in our life. And so at this time, if there's any way we can help you to get into Christ, if you're not, so that you can have his help in times of suffering, and that you can know that you have that home in heaven waiting for you one day. Or if you're a Christian and you fail to live your life in the way you should, and you've got sin in your life and it's bringing problems into your life, then you need to repent and confess that and get your life back right with God. So if we can help you in any way to be assured of your home in heaven, of his help and care in this life, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.